Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider. Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrna, less lethal pistol launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off. Hey, what if your home's title, which is the legal document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? Well, that's called home title theft, and criminals all over the world can find your home's title online, and then they'll forge your signature, they'll take out loans against your home, or even worse, sell your home. Now, how do you know some criminal's not taking over the title to your home? You can find out with sign up at HomeTitleLock.com and use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
All right, 35 days till Election Day. The best election coverage available on your radio dial. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to join us. All right, the vice presidential debate tonight. It's at Longwood University in Farmville, Virginia. We will be there right after the debate with our coverage. And, of course, it's Tim Kaine versus Governor Mike Pence. I think some people say, oh, this is going to be boring. I'm not so sure. I think you're going to see a very passionate defense of Donald Trump by Governor Pence. And I would expect the same thing on the other side as well. Now, we got, you know, one of the things that I will tell you, it's something that's frustrating me in this campaign. You know, if you look at the coverage, for example, you've got Hillary Clinton's comments on tape about Bernie Sanders supporting, you know, about Bernie Sanders supporters and they're living in their mommy and daddy's basement. I mean, it reveals so much. Let's play this clip because the network news, three network news companies, ABC, CBS, NBC, they only ran 2 minutes, 41 seconds combined on Hillary's comments. Now, if you go to the Trump story about taxes, which the New York Times, of course, it was illegal, but don't worry, they're going to run with that anyway. But putting aside the fact that it's illegal, I get that that's the way things are working in this day and age. But the Clintons used the exact same loopholes as Donald Trump did. And they even went beyond that over the years as they literally declared their old underwear as a tax deduction, as a donation to whatever charity they happened to give it to. I mean, can you imagine old underwear? Seriously? I tend to throw mine in a garbage where it belongs. And, you know, in the New York Times using the same tax rules themselves and $29 million of profitable income, and they end up getting $3.5 million back. So, and this was not a big revelation. Donald Trump wrote about his losses. That's why the New York Times in 95, you know, called him the comeback kid. He wrote a book in 97, The Art of the Comeback. Didn't stop the New York Times from publishing never disclosed information on Donald Trump's financial records. There's only 3 pages of one tax year. Their whole assumption that that resulted in him not declaring any income or paying income taxes all those years is a total, complete assumption on their part. But it's not. It doesn't stop them. And this is where, you know, go back to the first debate. You got Lester Holt. Lester Holt starts out, you would think the economy is the greatest thing since sliced bread because of
We're calling
Barack
this opening
Obama.
Segment Achieving Prosperity, and central to that is jobs. There are two economic realities in America today. There's been a record 6 straight years of job growth, and new census numbers show incomes have increased at a record rate after years of stagnation. However, income inequality remains significant, and nearly half of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck.
It's just it is totally wrong and totally deceptive on Lester Holt's part. That's not the only thing he got wrong. He got wrong stop and frisk. He got wrong Donald Trump on the Iraq war. And it just basically he was the number one surrogate for Hillary Clinton in that debate. The whole birther issue, he forgot. Oh, the Mark Penn memo. That might have had a big part to play in where this all originally came from. But let's not bring that up here. Let's not bring up any of these things. Oh, I'm looking at their coverage over the last 2 days. Three big networks spend a combined 2 minutes, 41 seconds on Hillary's comments about Bernie Sanders supporters. This is what, again, that she said.
Some are new to politics completely. They're children of the Great Recession, and they are living in their parents' basement. They feel that they got their education, and the jobs that are available to them are not at all what they envision for themselves, and they don't see much of a future. I met with a group of young black millennials today, and you know, one of the young women said, you know, none of us feel like we have the job that we should have gotten out of college. And we don't believe that the job market is going to give us much of a chance. So that is a mindset that is really affecting their politics. And so if you're feeling that you're consigned to, you know, being a barista or, you know, some other job that doesn't pay a lot and doesn't have much of a ladder of opportunity attached to it, then the idea that maybe, just maybe, you could be part of a political revolution is pretty appealing.
The Bernie revolution is what she's talking about, because you're living in mommy and daddy's basements. Now, there's one or two interpretations of this. There's not a third. And one is that she's trashing Bernie supporters, you know, living in their mommy's basement. They went to college. They don't have any opportunity. Or maybe even both. I'll give a third option of both. She's trashing them, but she's also acknowledging just how bad the economy is, that these guys go to college, they've got their student loans, of course she wants to pay for them all, and that they can't get good jobs, and that they are disappointed, and that there are millions of them. In other words, the people that actually showed up at Bernie Sanders rallies. I mean, that's what's phenomenal about this. When you think that is, what an admission. She's basically admitting everything that I've been saying. The worst recovery since the 40s, lowest labor participation rate since the 70s. You don't count the long-term unemployed, 95 million Americans out of the labor force, 12 million more Americans on food stamps since Obama's president, 8 million more in poverty. 51-year low home ownership rate. First president never to reach 3% GDP growth in our history. 44 presidents, 43 of them had much better growth than he did. One in five American families, not a single family member working. One in six American men, 18-34, in jail or living in mommy's basement, as she says. So she's either doing one or the other. And yet, if you listen again to Lester Holt's question on the economy, it's everything's sunshine, rainbows, and cotton candy, because that's what he thinks it is. You know, it's, I'll give you another example of this. You know, Donald Trump is slamming this, they're making this phony issue over this PTSD comment that he made. And, you know, we have campaign officials now fighting back. This, obviously, this is all being taken out of context here. But you have media outlets like the New York Daily News declaring Donald Trump sparks outrage by suggesting vets with PTSD aren't strong and can't handle it. It's not what he said. It's pretty sickening. Even the guy that actually asked the question said it's a Marine staff sergeant. He said it's sickening that anyone would twist Trump's comments in order to pursue a political agenda, but they're doing that anyway. You know, the bottom line, all Trump was saying here is that some people come back and they're strong and can handle it, but at the end of the day, there are people that need our help and support and love. And that's all he meant by it. But the media will focus on that because they're doing Hillary's bidding. And this is the biggest campaign contributor. Look, there's a reason that this election, I remind you what it's really about every day, and the media doesn't focus on it. How can you have a debate with two presidential candidates and not discuss at all the failure that is Obamacare, which was the main legislation, main legislative success, if you're Obama, of his presidency? And it was predicated on very direct promises that you'll keep your doctor, keep your plan, and save on average per family $2,500 a year. How do you go through an entire presidential debate and Obamacare never comes up, or the differences between the candidates never come up? You have one that will double down on it, one that will replace it. That's what made Bill Clinton's comments yesterday that much more shocking. Let's listen to this.
We got to figure out what to do now on health care. Our opponents said, oh, just repeal it all. The market will take care of it. That didn't work out very well for us, did it? We wound up with the most expensive system in the world, and we insured the smallest percentage of people. On the other hand, the current system works fine if you're eligible for Medicaid, if you're a lower-income working person, if you're already on Medicare, or if you get enough subsidies on a modest income that you can afford your health care. But the people that are getting killed in this deal are small business people and individuals who make just a little too much to get any of these subsidies. Why? Because they're not organized, they don't have any bargaining power with insurance companies, and they're getting whacked. So you've got this crazy system where all of a sudden 25 million more people have health care, and then the people are out there busting it, sometimes 60 hours a week, wind up with their premiums doubled and their coverage cut in half. It's the craziest thing in the world. So
craziest thing in the world.
Thing.
All right, that's enough. Craziest thing in the world. And he's right. He sounds like me. How many times did I warn you that the young and the healthy will end up subsidizing the sick, the elderly, and the unemployed and uninsured, which is what had happened. And the mathematics of this thing never worked. And now people have lost all choices in many cases. How many counties around the country have lost all choices? And on average, the average family rate has gone up $4,100 a year since Obama became president. You would think that if the media cared about what was going to happen with the next president, that they'd bring that up. How do you not bring up an important issue like vetting refugees when Comey and Clapper and Brennan and Steinbeck and McCall and General Allen all say ISIS will infiltrate the population and Hillary wants a 550% increase? I argue Hillary wants to gamble with your life, and Trump is listening to the experts. That didn't come up either. You know, we didn't talk about education. Want to talk about the biggest failure in inner city America? Education. It's a Democratic Party, an unholy alliance with the NEA, and they're beholden to them and top down, Washington driven, Common Core, which has failed, especially inner city America. You want to talk about energy independence? Okay, why does Hillary want coal miners out of work and coal companies out of business? How do you not talk about the specifics, the real specifics of the plans of the two candidates? How do you not mention Supreme Court and what that will impact, what impact that will have on generations? Well, the media is too fixated on talking about Alicia Machado or Judge Curiel or whatever it is that they want to talk about. You know, they want to talk about Donald Trump's taxes, but at the same time ignore that Hillary used the exact same deductions as Donald Trump did and even went further by deducting old underwear. None of which is going to have an impact on the future of this country or security of this country. There are two things that should be driving elections. One, the economy, and two, national security, homeland security, and America's role in the world. And what should it be? And what are we going to do with the military now? Are we going to fix the VA or not? There are serious, substantive, significant issues. And unfortunately here, you've got a media that is lazy, a media that is abusively biased, a media that is corrupt, a media that lies, a media that picks and chooses basically everything Hillary wants them to talk about. They're the biggest donor to Hillary Rodham Clinton's campaign. And then people say, well, Hannity has no business being on the air. He's a conservative. Well, the big difference between me and them, I'm honest. They support Hillary in the stories that they run, the way they run them, and the stories they choose not to run, and the substance they choose not to cover. And for them, it's all about gotcha, but it's only in one direction. How is it possible in this entire campaign that no mainstream media outlet has discussed in detail Hillary, the champion of women's rights, and her calling Monica Lewinsky a narcissistic Looney Tune, or wanting to crucify Jennifer Flowers? Or their surrogates and what they have said in the past about, well, Hillary once said, oh, pay somebody like Jennifer Flowers $150,000 to $170,000 and she'll say anything. And she gets on the front page of newspapers. Well, Jennifer Flowers turned out to tell the truth and Bill Clinton was the one that admitted it. But she was part of an effort to smear, slander, besmirch. How do you take money from the Saudis and other countries that practice Sharia, never criticize these practices that abuse women, kill gays and lesbians? that persecute Christians and Jews. How do you take all of that money? By the way, what did you do with all of that money? That's another question they're never going to ask. They'll ask Donald Trump, because if you listen to people in Haiti, well, they say the Clintons siphoned billions of dollars from earthquake relief fund. Bill Clinton was the head of the United Nations envoy to Haiti. In that capacity, he managed the interim Haiti Reconstruction Commission. It was a commission of Haitian and international actors who would coordinate more than $13 billion in earthquake relief and reconstructive money. Wouldn't take long before members of the commission began complaining about being shut out of discussions and planning. And by all accounts, most of the $13 billion never reached the Haitian people. While the Clinton Foundation only puts 10% of their donations towards charity, the track record of the Clinton Haiti Relief Fund is even worse. Only 1% of monies collected went to Haitian groups and agencies on the ground. Well, a lot of good that did, but you haven't heard that probably before today, not one time. And therein lies the real challenge that Donald Trump has here. You add to that the built-in advantage of an electoral map that favors any Democrat, it's hard. It's going to be hard for any Republican to win back the presidency. Add to that the sabotage and undermining of National Review and Wall Street Journal, Glenn Beck, and all this other group of never-Trumpers. None of it helps. I don't think individually they're having that big an impact. Collectively, cumulatively, they are. But the one thing that the American public are missing out with just 35 days to go is a real debate on whether or not we're better off cutting taxes or raising them, the need for energy independence, or whether or not we'll stay dependent to repeal or replace Obamacare or keep it, what the Supreme Court will mean for the future of the country, originalists versus liberal activists, a president that can say radical Islam and one that can't, whether we vet refugees or don't vet them, whether we build the wall or don't build the wall. I mean, at every level, these are deep, profound differences that we don't hear discussed a whole hell of a lot. That's too bad. And it's done by design. It's done to help one candidate over another. And the more media can focus on Donald Trump and his imperfect speech patterns or temperament, the more they know they're helping Hillary. Because on substance, she loses. I love how the media says, Hannity, he's saying if Hillary wins, America dies. Well, in a lot of ways, we just continue our precipitous decline. After all, the media, they want to put all the important issues in the closet, you know, where you keep your shoes and, you know, let's not talk about the economy and our tax increases. Let's throw those issues in the closet away where nobody else can see it. Let's not talk about being dependent on foreign oil and energy, the lifeblood of our economy. Let's put those issues in the closet. Let's not do that. Let's not talk about whether or not we have a president that can say radical Islam. Let's throw that issue in the closet, too. Let's not talk about Obamacare and the disaster that people lose their doctors and plans and are paying $4,100 a year more, or which is now what they're paying on annual average more than since Obama's been president. Let's throw that in the closet, too. Let's not talk about a substantive issue. Let's not talk about the Supreme Court. We'll throw that issue in the closet, too. You know, we got more important things to talk about, like birtherism, like Donald Trump paid hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes and used the exact laws that Hillary used. But let's put Hillary's use of the tax code in the closet, too. You know, let's not talk about vetting refugees. No, you know, Hillary will gamble with your life. Don't worry about that. Let's not listen to Comey and Clapper and Brennan and McCall and Steinbeck and General Allen. We'll put those important issues in the closet. We're not going to talk about building a wall. Why would we do that? If we do, it's going to be done negatively. It's going to be, oh, why aren't we building a bridge? Well, for national security purposes. What happens the day that somebody brings a dirty bomb across our border? What are we going to do then? And sets it, detonates that bomb in an American town or city. Let's put that issue in the closet, too. Education back to the states. Let's not talk about that. After all, we have a lot that we've got to discuss here. I mean, that's the difference between this campaign. That's what this campaign's about. FBI Director Comey agreeing to destroy evidence against Hillary Clinton after five of her closest aides get immunity. You know, I know Trump was saying yesterday, well, what job has she created for anybody? Actually, she has created jobs. within the FBI, within the Justice Department. She and her team do a pretty good job of keeping lawyers working 24/7. Anyway, so immunity deals for two of top Clinton's aides, including a side agreement obliging the FBI to destroy their laptops after reviewing the devices, according to the House Judiciary Committee. Sources said the arrangement with former Clinton Chief of Staff Cheryl Mills and ex-campaign staffer Heather Samuelson also limited the search to no later than January 31st, 2015, and that meant that investigators could not review documents for the period after the email server became public, in turn preventing the Bureau from discovering if there was any evidence of any obstruction of justice. This government is so corrupt. You know, one of the things, I do have a beef with the American people, because all these important issues that they're throwing in the closet and they're not going to bring up in these debates, and they want to talk about all this superfluous stuff, and they want to allow the New York Times to dictate through stolen documents that are incomplete, only 3 years of one tax return, and then they race to conclusions, then those conclusions are repeated 50 minutes of airtime on the three major networks' newscasts. They don't want to talk about the substance. This is the last thing they want. Because if you talk about substance, and you're going to have to admit how bad this economy is, you talk about substance, that means you're going to have to talk about people dying needlessly because Hillary denied 600 requests for Benghazi and the ambassador, and that they did nothing when Americans were under fire, mortar fire, and RPG fire for 13 long hours. Hillary's debating whether or not we need permission from the Libyans, need permission from, you know, the Libyans about what our brave soldiers could be wearing if they go into Libya. Should they be in uniform or not be in uniform? We literally had them change four different times. Nobody wants to talk about the Clinton email server lies, the Benghazi lies, the Bill Clinton lies, the smearing of women lies. Just, it's never ending. The whole thing is corrupt, and I got to be honest. We have a gullible population out here of Americans. This race should not be close. But unfortunately, to talk about free college and free education, nothing is free in life. Where did this mindset, this mentality come from that the government's going to take care of your health care? And you bring kids into the world, they'll pay for your daycare. And if you decide to go to college, free college. Who's paying for all of this? Well, Hillary says the rich aren't paying their fair share. Well, that's a lie, too, because the top 10% pay 70% of federal income taxes in this country. The bottom 50%, well, they pay less. They pay no income taxes at this point. None. No federal income tax. Under Donald Trump's plan, more than half the working population will pay zero federal income tax. Well, that's not being highlighted because the narrative that gets repeated by the gullible news media is, well, these are tax cuts for the rich. Yeah, in a sense, Donald Trump is saying, yeah, we're going to lower the top corporate rate from 35 to 15%. Do you know what that means? Most people can't get this through their thick head. Corporations don't pay taxes. You pay those taxes. You think corporations are going to lower their bottom line, what they want to make for profit? No, they just increase the price of their goods and services and pass them on to you. You pay corporate taxes. Corporations don't pay taxes. The idea that our government is so corrupt and so greedy and so selfish, it's not individuals and corporations that are greedy and selfish. It's your government. Our government has taken in more money than we've ever taken in the history of the country, and we still are running trillion-dollar deficits every year. And that basically means they're stealing from your kids and your grandkids. And then when you die, Hillary Clinton wants 65% of anything you've got left that you already paid taxes on before. God forbid you pass it on to your kids. God forbid you give it to a charity. You know, why do you think these corporations all have, multinational corporations, all park their money outside of the United States? They park it outside the United States because they can't afford to bring it back. Because if they bring it back at the corporate tax rate that we currently have, that means they pay 35% of the trillions of dollars they've got parked overseas. Now, if you have a one-time reduction of 10% to incentivize them to come here, and then you have one of the lowest corporate tax rates in the entire world, 15%, which Trump wants, well, that means trillions of dollars flow into the economy. And that means that multinational corporations will build factories here, not take them away and bring them down to Mexico. And that means Americans in Michigan and Wisconsin and in Ohio and Pennsylvania and the industrial Midwest and every other state, that means there'll be more jobs for them. Hillary bragging coal miners will be out of work. Hillary bragging coal companies will be out of business. By the way, we'll put that issue in the closet, too. Let's not talk about it. Well, that's not good for the economy either. If America made a promise and a pledge and a commitment towards energy independence, we'd have millions and millions of high-paying jobs and the added benefit and bonus of getting the lifeblood of our economy, energy, from within, which means we're not dependent on countries that hate our guts any longer for our energy. Well, that just makes too much sense. Put that issue in the closet too, Hannity. Let's just put it, bury it where all the old shoes are and the old safe is. Bury it where, you know, whatever, bury it in under the carpet in the closet, for crying out loud. Anyway, why deal with substantive issues? Tim Biloxi, Mississippi, next, Sean Hannity Show. What's up, sir? How are you?
Hey, Sean, what's best? Got to tell you, though, the media has absolutely, I mean, the media should not even be allowed to report anything to do with federal income taxes. I'm a former CPA. So I got tired of trying to explain to my clients the nonsense that is the 70,000 pages of garbage that's in our tax code. But going back to the Trump thing, first of all, Trump's deduction and Hillary's deduction weren't actually the same thing. Hillary's was a capital loss carry forward, which is available to everybody in this country. Trump's was a net operating loss carry forward, available to everybody in this country as well. And in fact, his 15-year carry forward period that you have for net operating losses right now, it used to be 7 years. You could carry it back 3 and forward 7. Until the Clinton administration, when Bill Clinton signed tax legislation that extended that period for 15 years. Mm-hmm. So the whole problem here, and the way that Trump needs to defeat this, is to get away from, I had net operating loss, I took advantage of it, and fix the tax code, because I have not seen an accurate story.
But you've got to understand something here. He can't do a damn thing if he's not elected.
Do you understand how...
And this is what I tried so hard to warn the country about 8 years ago. And I fear the country is going to double down on stupid. And if we double down on stupid, I keep saying, you get the government you deserve. If you get the Hillary presidency that I'm telling you you're going to get, that's bad for Americans that want jobs. That's bad for homeland security. That's bad for the demographic shift that Democrats want, because they want a generational power shift. It's bad for radical Islamists that will be emboldened and empowered. It's just bad across the board. And the media is playing into this false narrative that Donald Trump doesn't have the temperament to be president. He'd be fine as president. The person I don't trust to be president is her. Number one, I think she'll be in bed half the time. She doesn't look healthy to me, my own personal assessment, after she had her concussion and didn't even recall ever being briefed on cybersecurity as Secretary of State, the fall she had, the deep vein thrombosis she has, the venal cerebral thrombosis that she has, and whatever real issues that she might be experiencing that none of us will ever know about. So, look, America's got a choice here. I'm trying my best to really tell you what this election, look, I'll say it again. This election is about the economy and our approach to the economy. One that believes in a government confiscation and redistribution of wealth like Hillary, or one that believes in the free market, cutting taxes, incentivizing corporations to come back to America. The issue of Supreme Court justices will impact this country for generations. We have more energy than the Middle East combined, and we're so stupid as a country that we don't even tap into our natural resources, and we import it from countries that despise us. Trump wants independence. Hillary wants dependence. Obamacare, how did that work out for you? Did you keep your doctor? Did you keep your plan? Are you paying less, as Obama and Hillary promised? Or are you like the average American that's paying $4,100 more a year with less choices than they ever had? You want a president that can say radical Islam? At least say the words, identify the enemy, or not. You want 550% increase in refugees? Elect Hillary. You don't want to vet refugees? You want to ignore our top national security intelligence officials? Elect Hillary. You don't want a wall built with Mexico along our southern border where drugs and criminal activity take place? A lot of it takes place. Then elect Hillary is going to give a bridge. You know, you don't want to rebuild our military. You want to see a continued decline? Watch the emergence of Russia, China, and Iran. Go ahead. You want to give the Iranians $150 billion? Go ahead. Vote for Hillary. You want to see more chaos in North Africa, Libya, Benghazi? Elect Hillary. You want to see more people like Mohamed Morsi, supported guy that referred to the Israelis as descendants of apes and pigs? Vote for Hillary. You want to see people start wars, politicize them, 5,000 Americans die, fight, bleed, die, and win, and then give it over to groups like ISIS? Elect Hillary. Because that's what you're getting. Because that's what is going to happen. You know, there's only so much convincing I have for some of you people. Half the country has been indoctrinated into this mindset that the government cradle to grave, womb to the tomb, the minute you're born to the minute you die, your government's going to take care of you. And you ignore all of the evidence to the contrary that shows the government doesn't keep their promises. Obamacare is only the latest one. That government is incompetent. They can't stop terrorist attacks. You know, that government is basically about building their own power using tax dollars to create people that are dependent on them. And there's more of them, I guess, than there are people that are actually working hard, playing by the rules and paying their taxes. The same government that has now given us more debt in 8 years than 43 other presidents combined. The same government that has bankrupted Social Security because they didn't put the money in the lockbox like they promised. The same government that has bankrupted Medicare. Go ahead, put your faith, your hope, your trust in Almighty Hillary. Good luck with that, because you're going to get the government you deserve. And for all you weak, pathetic, sabotaging, saboteurs, hate Trumpers, you know, good. You own it. You own her Supreme Court choices. You own her unvetted refugees. You own illegal immigrants. You own Obamacare. You own our dependence on oil. You own the tax increases. You own the bad educational system. You own it all. Don't blame me. Don't come crying to me. I tried to warn people. I'm doing my very best here.
If somebody's willing to pay you $130,000 or $170,000 to say something, and you get your 15 minutes of fame and you get your picture on the front page of every newspaper, and you're some failed cabaret singer who doesn't even have much of a resume to fall back on, and what's there she's lied about, you know, that's the daughter of Willie Horton as far as I'm concerned.
He'd get off the phone and tell me that she said sort of wacky things, which we thought were attributable to the fact that she was terrified.
People have been harassing my husband for, gosh, I don't know, ever since I've known him. I have to believe that it is in large measure motivated by people who just flat out disagree with the kind of politics and policies that my husband believes are best for America.
The great story here for anybody willing to find it and write about it and explain it is this vast right-wing conspiracy that has been conspiring against my husband since the day he announced for president.
I made this case and that we had to go forward. We had no choice anymore but to go for a special counsel. And man, she just jumped down my throat. It was fierce and chilling.
She kind of belittled him in front of everybody, and anybody that stood up and tried to say this is a bad idea was, you know, smashed down and belittled very personally.
Did you ever throw a lamp at your husband?
No, I didn't.
Did you ever throw a Bible at your husband?
No, I didn't.
Do you have a terrible temper?
No, but I do get angry about things. I'm not going to deny that.
If you go to the end of the line.
Okay.
Why don't you go to the end of the line?
Yeah, we'll take care.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
You want me to tell you what my husband thinks? My husband is not the Secretary of State. I am. So you ask my opinion, I will tell you my opinion. I'm not going to be channeling my husband.
This woman, this little soft-spoken, pardon me for the phrase, dowdy woman, that was seen very unassertive, took a hold of my hand and squeezed it and said, "Do you understand everything that you do?" I could have passed out at that moment. And she held on to my hand, and she said, "Do you understand everything that you do?" I mean, cold chills went up my spine. That's the first time I became afraid of that woman.
I'm so sick. I am so sick of the Sanders campaign lying about me. I'm sick of it.
And I also think we'd be a lot better off if we actually talked to each other instead of yelling at each other.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
I want to send a message to every survivor of sexual assault. Don't let anyone silence your voice. You have a right to be heard, and you have a right to be believed. We're with you.
Right to be heard, right to be believed, we are with you. I guess unless your name is Paula Jones or Jennifer Flowers or Kathleen Willey or Juanita Broderick and perhaps many others. Anyway, it's the untold story of the smearing, the slandering. I keep talking about this media double standard today. And, you know, you have all the stories all the time on Alicia Machado, brought up by the media. Donald Trump's taxes, big issue with the news media. But if you have a woman that is now saying that you have a right to be heard and a right to be believed and we're with you, well, then why did she talk about $150,000, $170,000? You know, it's basically a Willie Horton theme. And in the end of the day, people forget this. Jennifer Flowers was vindicated by Bill Clinton himself. During the Ken Starr report, he did admit that he had had an affair after they all went on 60 Minutes and lied to the American people. If it wasn't Hillary herself, it was her surrogates like James Carville. Yeah, you just drag a dollar bill through a trailer park. Or people like, you know, all the whoever was surrounding the Clintons at the time. And Hillary Clinton, you know, "I'll crucify Jennifer Flowers." And Monica Lewinsky is a narcissistic looney tune. And this is just vast right-wing conspiracy and political differences. Now, the other voices you heard calling her fierce and chilling and having been belittled and smashed him down is, well, that's George Stephanopoulos saying that she's fierce and chilling. It was Dee Dee Myers who said that, yeah, she belittled George Stephanopoulos. She smashed him down. Anyway, joining us to discuss, Kathleen Willey, author of the book Target, Caught in the Crosshairs of Bill and Hillary Clinton. Also joining us, Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson, author of the book Dereliction of Duty, an eyewitness account of how Bill Clinton compromised America's national security. And thank you all for being with us. Appreciate your time. Kathleen, let's start with you. There are other women that you have talked to that have never come forward.
Yes, there are many of them, Sean. A young woman now was 12 years old at the time. She helped her dad work on the campaign, one of Clinton's campaigns. Her father was very active in the campaign, and she wrote to me and told me her horrific story of how he was accosting her and cornering her in empty rooms during the campaign. She was only 12 years old. And at 14, her father, she said, just up and quit the campaign. Never another word about it. She never told him what had happened, but she sensed that he figured out what happened, and he just quit the campaign. And she was just one of many. There's another woman.
How many years have you known all of these other women, Kathleen? Is this just coming out now, or have you known this for years?
I was contacted by a few over the years, but I've mostly heard about them from them when I put up my website, A Scandal a Day, and there was a section on there where I could, I just asked women if they were ever assaulted by Clinton or ever assaulted by anyone, you know, if they just needed to talk about it, that they had a place there to do it. And I heard from many women. One woman was a young girl, just graduated from high school, and she went to visit a friend in Cambridge with a graduation present, and they were touring around England, and they ran into Clinton and a friend of his, and they went to a party that night, and she went to graphic details of how he almost raped her. And as you've heard Juanita say, the thing that's most shocking about all of this, I mean, it's all shocking, but what's even more shocking is that after that happened, and after he basically just kind of turned it back on her, she went back into the party and just tried to get herself together and get over that, that the following year, when he was at Yale and he was driving back home to Arkansas, he actually called this woman. He had gotten her contact information before any of that happened, and he actually called her, and he invited her to come up to Yale for a weekend, which she said absolutely not. And then he said he wanted to stop by and see her on his drive home to Arkansas, and she said absolutely not. And Sean, he showed up in her driveway. Anyway,
kind of creepy. When you heard Hillary make the comment, I guess about a year or so ago, that, you know, survivors of sexual assault have a right to be heard and a right to be believed, and we know that she referred to Monica Lewinsky as a narcissistic Looney Tune, and Jennifer Flowers, you know, wanted to crucify her, and then all of her surrogates smeared you and Paula and Jennifer and Juanita and everybody else in between, and you hear her say that. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, I'm here being heard, aren't I? I'm taking her up on her invitation. I was outraged when I heard that. I just thought, first of all, I thought the woman must not be thinking. The people around her must not be thinking. I was shocked when I heard that. If she wants us all to come forward, we're all happy to do that. And like I said, there are other people who are willing to come forward. A young girl who had an experience with him in Little Rock years ago is going to be coming forward in the next week or two, and she's going to be telling her story, so...
Is this the Arkansas TV reporter?
Uh-huh.
So are you saying that when he was driving home from Yale and the person that he's contacted when he got down there is a 12-year-old girl?
No, I'm sorry, that was a different girl. The girl that he contacted from Yale was a woman that he ran into, that he met. She had just graduated from high school back here in this country, mm-hmm. and she went to England. Her parents gave her a graduation gift. It was a trip to England to go see a friend. And while she was in England, Clinton was at Cambridge, at Oxford. And that's when they met, and they went to a party, and he took her outside when they were at that party, and he tried to rape her. And when it was all over, I mean, she wanted nothing more to do with him. And then later on, after she got home, months later, he tried to contact her and invited her to come to Yale to come up for a weekend and party with him.
Yeah.
And then, And then later, when he drove home, after she said no, then later, when he was driving home, he called her again and said, I want to stop by and see you. And she said, absolutely not. And he showed up in her driveway anyway.
So bizarre.
It's Buzz, sick, Sean. It's sick.
Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson also with us here. Now, you spent all these years. You talk about dereliction of duty, and he even lost the nuclear football at one point. But you've also met and talked with a lot of people about Bill Clinton, and what have you heard and discovered?
Well, Sean, one of the things I talk about in Dereliction of Duty was a time when we came back from Europe on Air Force One. Of course, the Air Force One crew was all Air Force One officers and enlisted personnel, and most of the flight attendants are Air Force One females. We were coming back from Europe on Air Force One, a long trip. We'd been gone for quite a while. Landed at Andrews, helicoptered over to the South Lawn. I put President Clinton to bed, went down to my bedroom in the east wing of the White House, got ready to go to sleep. My phone rang, and it was Colonel Mark Donnelly, the Air Force One pilot, on the phone. And he said he had a young lady, one of the flight attendants, in front of him in his office in tears. And I said, well, what's going on, Mark? He said, well, she says that President Clinton cornered her in a galley in Air Force One and molested her. Now, this is the commander-in-chief now molesting a staff sergeant in the U.S. Air Force, a female, on board Air Force One. So I asked Mark what she wanted, and all she wanted, Sean, was an apology. So I had to go down to the Oval Office the next morning and tell President Clinton he needed to somehow apologize to this young lady. That's all she wanted. He was very non-contrite. He was nonplussed, really. And we arranged for an apology aboard Air Force One 2 weeks later. And again, he was very uncontrite and nonplussed, and basically that was it. But she didn't want to come out. She did not want to be known. She was in the Air Force. She was married. She had children. She didn't want to be in the public eye. This was 1997, and she chose not to come forward. All she wanted was a apology. Now, here we are, Sean, talking about the commander-in-chief sexually molesting an Air Force enlisted person. If it had been me or anybody else in the Air Force, we would have been thrown in jail, dishonorably discharged, and forever had our careers ruined. And here's the commander-in-chief that gets away with just an apology.
Why did she continue to work on Air Force One?
Yeah, she wanted to keep it promotable in the Air Force, Sean. She was married. She had just gotten married. She had young kids. She wanted to remain promotable in the Air Force, not be part of the bimbo eruption. And she wanted, I think she was very sincere in saying, I don't want to be part of it. I did reach out to her a couple of years ago. She still, at that point in time, still wants to remain anonymous. I hope she hears this and contacts me. I'd love to have her tell her story because, again, to me, it was so tragic that we have the commander-in-chief getting away with sexual molestation on board Air Force One, the taxpayer's airplane, the American airplane, and getting away with just an apology.
You know what's amazing about this? You know, Hillary plans this last-minute barrage in the last debate, and one of the things she brings up is this Alicia Machado, and now it's clear that they had already prepped the news media to be moving forward with it. The net result is, you know, you have, what, 2 minutes, 41 seconds on Hillary's comments about Sanders, and on the tax story of Trump, it's 50 minutes. You know, so you look at all of this, all of these other stories, if they really cared in the news media, you would think, Kathleen, that they would have been contacting you. Have you had a lot of outreach in terms of the way not only Bill handled you, but also the way the Clinton surrogates, including Hillary, handled your accusations that you made at the time?
Well, yeah, I've had a number of people reach me, try to have called and asked to be interviewed on radio shows, and I've been asked to write a couple of op-ed pieces. I mean, one girl I talked to was a millennial, and she wants to get the message out to millennials, and I think that's really important because all of them were either too young to remember, their parents shielded them from all of this, or they weren't yet born. And a lot of the young millennials think it would be really great to vote for the first president, female president of the United States, and they need to know what this is all about. I mean, the thing of it is, and I keep trying to drive this message home, Sean, and I'm going to do it between now and the election. And this is what the mainstream media keeps trying to throw back in Trump's face. This is not about infidelities. It is not about indiscretions. It's not about girlfriends, affairs, any of that. This is about a woman who is running for president of the United States and her husband, who was president at the time. Hillary was first lady at the time. They were both attorneys, and they were trying to threaten and intimidate us and terrorize us into remaining silent and lying under oath, and they were trying to obstruct justice. That's what's going on here. That's what this is all about. It's not about the affairs. I don't care about his affairs, his consensual affairs with anybody. That's their business. If that's the way they want to run their marriage, that's fine. But when they cross that line and they come after the victim, no champion of women attacks the victims of sexual assault. I don't care who they are or who she is. She is a fake feminist, and I'm tired of hearing about what a great advocate for women she is, because she's not.
All right, Kathleen, Willie, we're going to have more with you next week in a special broadcast we've got planned. Thank you for being with us. Buzz Patterson, Lieutenant Colonel, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
The fact is, it's pretty, anybody that understands the challenge they face who do this vetting, you cannot vet people from Syria, because there's no way, and we have no plans to send people into Syria to verify anything that they say. That's the problem fundamentally. And so I'll ask you, are you not aware that I have written four letters to the department asking for information on how many refugees have been convicted of criminal and terrorist activities?
I confess, Chairman, I'm not. I will certainly make sure to follow up.
This is absolutely breathtaking. It's a total disrespect to this body who is in charge of giving you money to run your business. And we should quit giving you money if you don't respond and you don't know basic things. Let me just tell you, in August 12th, I sent a letter to that effect. December 3rd of 15, I wrote on that effect. January 11th on 2016. And in June of this year, so frustrated was I that I wrote directly to the president to ask, why can't we get this information? So do you think we're entitled to know this?
Of course you're entitled to answers to your questions. I will follow up, sir.
Well, to me, it indicates the determination to promote an agenda without listening to the American people, without listening to their elected representatives, and to downplay and misrepresent, really, the danger that this program presents. And we're not having terrorists from a lot of areas, but some areas we are having terrorists that threaten this country in a whole lot of ways.
Were those letters addressed directly to my agency?
They were directed to Secretary Johnson.
Thank you. I will follow up.
And if somebody wasn't sending it to you or whoever to get an answer from it, I take that as absolute refusal to respond to a legitimate request of Congress.
By the way, our operations are fee funded, not tax funded. They're not funded by the tax.
So you're not funded by the taxpayer.
No, sir.
And so you don't offer. You don't have.
I just thought that was an important clarification. No, we have a responsibility to the American people to do our job the right way. That's not the point I was making.
You don't get any fees that Congress hadn't authorized. Isn't that true?
That's certainly true.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Pretty amazing thing, and we'll see if these issues come up tonight. You know, while Lester Holt got pretty much everything wrong about the economy, his opening question was wrong, Trump on the Iraq war wrong, stop and frisk he got wrong, the birther issue he got wrong, and yet we didn't talk about refugees, we didn't talk about immigration, we didn't talk about America's role in the world. We didn't talk about Obamacare. We didn't really talk about energy independence, the key issues in this campaign. But the next president, on top of appointing a number of Supreme Court justices, probably one of the main roles of any commander in chief is securing the homeland. And I don't have confidence in a president that can't say radical Islam and that's willing to gamble with the lives of Americans and ignore some of our best and brightest and smartest intelligence officials. You know, people like Comey and Clapper and Steinbeck and McCall and General Allen and Brennan and so many others. And the person who's been literally hitting the warning bell longer than anybody else is Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama. Here 35 days out before this election, Senator, we haven't had a good debate yet. I want to hear a debate on substance and issues, but I guess Hillary only wants to talk about birtherism and what Donald Trump said about women 25 years ago, not the money she took from countries that practice Sharia.
That is exactly right. We need to talk about the fundamental issues facing this country. And her view about refugees is that we should increase the refugee flow dramatically, even though we cannot vet them. President Obama admitted 10,000 Syrian refugees last year. She wants to admit 65,000 this year. She does not have to ask Congress's permission. The president can do this without Congress's approval, and it's a huge issue. And the reason we had that fight, that discussion over refugees and terrorist acts is because they take the view and try to tell the American people the refugees aren't committing crimes, that they're victims of terrorists. But we've had at least, we've identified, my staff has, 40 cases of terrorism committed by refugees. And we think there are a lot more, but we can't get the information because they don't want it to go out. And they're blocking it because it undermines their message.
Do you believe that these refugees we're taking in, do you agree with our national security intelligence officials that ISIS will infiltrate like they did in Paris and Germany and Great Britain and Belgium and all throughout Europe? Don't you agree that we are gambling with the lives of the American people by doing this?
Exactly. There's no way you can prevent it. There's no way you can properly find out a person is who he says he is and his background is as he says it is. There's no way to check that. We're not sending people into Syria to verify the statements that they make. So you're absolutely right. It cannot be done, as all our experts virtually have said.
Well, I mean, I think that's a huge issue in the campaign. You know, one of the things that I've been saying to a lot of people that maybe have been, you know, against Donald Trump, I said, all right, well, you stay home and then you're going to own Hillary's Supreme Court justices and you're going to own what these unvetted refugees do to the American people. You'll own what open borders causes in the United States, maybe not just competition for jobs, but there could be a national security crisis as a result of open borders. You're going to own the tax increases that will further keep our economy in decline. You're alone Obamacare on top of that. And, you know, every other decision that Hillary makes, why this is not as clear to some of our conservative brethren is puzzling to me. What about you?
I agree with that. You know, the whole rule of law is at stake here. Hillary Clinton, for example, in the Department of Justice would continue Obama appointments to every low-level office in the department. They'll be packed with people who don't share our view of law, who think executive orders can just override congressional action and change law to carry out a political agenda. There's no doubt that Hillary Clinton's promises in this campaign are to the left of President Obama on immigration. She says she's going to issue more executive orders, bring in more refugees, and take other action to give citizenship within 100 days of her taking the presidency. This is a radical and extreme position. A president alone with existing law and resources can bring this illegality under control. and create a lawful system, which the American people have asked for 30 years, Sean. Politicians have promised
it. Leon
Rodriguez,
I want to play this cut for you. He's a DHS official testifying, in this case it was to Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, that refugees can actually be allowed into the country just based on their testimony alone. And this was at the same Senate hearing. And also that, you know, that they can commit acts of terrorism. Listen to this.
Despite the fact that the director of the FBI has told us they cannot vet these refugees to make sure they're not terrorists, how can we possibly be confident that the refugees coming in are not, in fact, terrorists seeking to murder innocent Americans?
What I am telling you is that I would not give that document a whole lot of credit, because whoever that person was did not do the homework to learn about our process. We can talk about real gaps. Real issues, real areas of risk. That document was written by somebody who did not take the time to familiarize themselves.
Do you disagree with the passage I read, though?
I disagree.
So is it true or false that the testimony of the applicant alone can be sufficient for approval?
It is considered, it depends on the case. Usually we do have extensive documentation. Syrians in particular present with extensive documentation, passports, military records. So there is documentation that we review. In fact, if you come to one of our refugee settlement centers, you'll see piles of documents.
Mr. Rodriguez, it's a very simple question. My time has expired, but I just would like to get an answer to this question. Is it true or false that the testimony of the applicant alone can be sufficient for approval?
There are cases where the testimony is not necessarily corroborated by documents, but it is always tested against country conditions and other information. That's why it doesn't lend itself in the way that you're asking the question, Senator.
Are you saying it's true or you're saying it's false? I'm just trying to understand.
I am acknowledging that, yes, testimony can be the basis for the grant of a refugee, but it needs to be tested against other information that we know about the country conditions at a minimum.
Senator, the answer is obvious, that the testimony of a refugee alone can be just the only factor in bringing them into the country. Now, I would imagine that ISIS, knowing their training tactics, if they want to infiltrate the refugee population, they're going to prepare their soldiers for the proper answer of those questions, are they not?
Absolutely, and we know that's happening. And we also know that even if they were to have certain documents, it doesn't mean that the person is not also a terrorist or connected to al-Nusra or al-Qaeda or ISIS. Give me a break. Just because they have some documents that prove they are who they say they are by name, they could be false, number one. And number two, if it's true, they could still be a terrorist. So
let
what
me play
we know
this other clip.
We're bringing in terrorists.
Let me play this clip, because they actually admit that point that you're making, which means that Hillary wanting a 550% increase in refugees means that Americans likely will die and that she's willing to gamble with their lives. I know she'll be protected, but we won't be. Listen to this.
Minutes ago, you touted and made a big deal in your testimony, or perhaps in response to a question, that since 9/11, there has been no person who came in as an adult in the refugee program who was convicted of a violent terrorist offense. Now, that's great, but that was a very carefully crafted statement. There are many people who came in as adults in the refugee program who have been convicted of terrorist offenses, correct?
That is correct.
Doesn't government bear the responsibility, the acts of terrorism they commit then? And why gamble with our lives like that?
Exactly. Senator Vitter and Senator Cruz were really brilliant in their questioning. And I would just say that it is a duty of the United States government to protect Americans from danger and protect their security. People do not have a constitutional right to demand entry to the United States. I believe, and Donald Trump has made repeatedly clear, he believes that we should work to help people in the region where we can serve 12 people for the cost of bringing one to the United States, help them to stay there until we can get some sort of safe zone set up in Syria so they can return home. This is what good American policy should be, and just to bring in anybody that claims refugee status would be bad policy, in my opinion.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, Senator, what is your take on the state of the campaign? I look at these polls every day. You know, it is so close in Florida, so close in North Carolina. Latest poll had Hillary pulling away a little bit in Colorado. I didn't particularly like that poll, but it was Monmouth. I'm not sure I really trusted. You got Rasmussen has it as a dead even race. Then you have other polls have Hillary up. L.A. Times has Trump up. What do you make of these polls? Can he win Pennsylvania? Can he win Michigan? Can he win Wisconsin? Will he win Ohio? Will he win Florida? Will he win North Carolina? What are your thoughts?
I believe so. I know the media, the establishment media, is desperately trying to change the narrative from the fact that two-thirds of the Americans believe we're on the wrong track, and we are. They believe that we need to fix immigration, and Hillary Clinton will never do it. They believe these trade deals need to be reformed and changed, and she'll never do that. They believe we need a foreign policy that protects America's national security first and not some global agenda, and they're exactly right about that, and they're unhappy about it. So as this time goes forward, the numbers will move. They've moved two or three times already, with Hillary ahead and Trump ahead and Hillary ahead and Trump ahead. So I believe we should absolutely expect that as the real issues in the campaign become clear, the polling data will move forward. So you're right. The Los Angeles Times, certainly in our pro-Trump paper, is having Trump with a lead. Rasmussen just came out with a one-point Clinton lead, which could be wiped out in one day. So,
yeah.
He
you know, one of the things I keep telling my audience, everyone keeps asking me who's going to win, and my honest answer is I don't know. I mean, if you look at enthusiasm, it certainly appears that Trump has that on his side. I always have felt the electoral map favors a Democrat, and so that's on Clinton's side, but I think if we focus on the issues, this is as big a choice election as we've ever had in our lifetime. But I have to run, Senator. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
We are living in a volatile political environment. You know, to just be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. And unfortunately, there are people like that. And he has lifted them up. He has given voice to their websites that used to only have 11,000 people, now have 11 million. He tweets and retweets. They're offensive, hateful, mean-spirited rhetoric. Now, some of those folks, they are irredeemable, but thankfully they are not America.
Some are new to politics completely. They're children of the Great Recession, and they are living in their parents' basement. They feel that they got their education, and the jobs that are available to them are not at all what they envision for themselves, and they don't see much of a future. I met with a group of young black millennials today, and you know, one of the young women said, you know, none of us feel like we have the job that we should have gotten out of college, and we don't believe that the job market is going to give us much of a chance. So that is a mindset that is really affecting their politics. And so if you're feeling that you're consigned to, you know, being a barista or, you know, some other job that doesn't pay a lot and doesn't have much of a ladder of opportunity attached to it, then the idea that maybe, just maybe, you could be part of a political revolution is pretty appealing.
All right, there, Hillary slamming Bernie supporters living in mommy and daddy's basements, which, by the way, is true. Now, either she's totally ripping into Bernie Sanders supporters, which means she calls Trump supporters deplorables, and Bernie Sanders supporters a bunch of, you know, mommy and daddy babies laying in their mommy and daddy's basements, or it's just a tacit admission of everything that I've said about the economy, which is it sucks. I mean, how does she run on doubling down on Obama's economic policies and say something like that, that it's as bad as it is? I mean, maybe she's figured out what I've been saying. Lowest labor participation rate since the 70s. 95 million Americans out of work. 12 million more Americans on food stamps. 8 million more in poverty. 51-year low in the home ownership rate. One in five American families. Not a single family member living, working in the workforce right now. No job at all. One in six American men 18 to 34 in jail or in their parents' basements. I guess they're Bernie supporters, too, based on what Hillary Clinton says. If you're a black American, 58% increase of blacks on food stamps. Disproportionately high unemployment numbers for the black community. 20% increase black Americans out of the labor force. This is a Democrat that did this to the middle class in America. All right, joining us now is Christian Rickers, lifelong Democrat, appointed by and served in Governor Tim Kaine's administration, and he's now a staunch Trump supporter. Why the transition for you? What happened?
Well, I was originally a Bernie Sanders supporter, Sean, and you know, he was the anti-establishment candidate, and was promising to bring jobs back, and also promising to bust up what's going on in Washington. And I decided if he wasn't going to win the nomination, that I wasn't going to support Hillary Clinton. I come from a small town in Southside Virginia, very close to Farmville, where the debate is tonight. And you can go right around the corner from Longwood University, and there are vacant factories everywhere. There were 15 manufacturing plants in my hometown when I was in high school, and now there's one. And there's nobody more responsible for that than the Clinton. And so Donald Trump has promised to rebuild the infrastructure and the economy in this country, and that's why I'm supporting him. And he's also going to bust up Washington.
What do you think? Do you agree with my assessment about a corrupt and abusively biased news media, that they just don't, they have picked sides in this race and it just is what it is?
Well, they have, you know, they keep reporting on what I call these retired Republicans that are supporting Hillary Clinton. And there's, what, a 50 or 60 of, you know, retired, what I call retired Republicans. And we have hundreds of thousands of voters in Western Pennsylvania and Ohio that have already, you know, they switched parties, switched registration to vote for Trump in the primary. And I mean, we've identified over 850,000 independents, Democrats in Pennsylvania that are ripe for our message. And you know, you don't hear any stories about that. They try to keep it quiet.
See, I think the Republican Party, I mean, the old Democratic playbook, the Republicans are racist and sexist and anti-gay. And, you know, I think that narrative goes away if Donald Trump hammers home Hillary taking money from all these countries that practice Sharia. But more importantly, I think the Republican Party, unfortunately, has on their side wanted cheap labor. They have not wanted to stop illegal immigration. Now, look at the impact of immigration on the jobs that you're talking about.
Right.
Because if you look in the industrial Midwest,
Ford Motor Company, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Ford Motor Company is going, they're going to build all their small cars now in Mexico. And as Trump pointed out, they
American
used to build
than Ford, and they're going to Mexico.
Yeah, and I thought Trump had a good line when he said, you know, hey, it used to be that we built our cars in Flint and you had bad water in Mexico. Now they're building the cars in Mexico and you got bad water in Flint, Michigan. You know, at one point they had 88 or 80,000 GM jobs, and then now down to 8,000.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you have entire neighborhoods. I don't know when's the last time you've been to Detroit. Last time I was in Detroit, I felt like I was looking at Louisiana, New Orleans, Katrina.
Like a bomb went off.
Seriously, I mean, you can go on the internet and buy houses for a dollar, and they're going to bulldoze right. entire neighborhoods because all these manufacturing jobs have been pushed out. And I think a lot of this is rooted in very bad economic policies. We've not incentivized. And, you know, both parties, and I would argue in their own way, have forgotten all of those workers, the 95 million that are now out of the labor force. You know, we, since Obama has been president, we have 12 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more Americans in poverty. Now, that to
right.
me is the heart of the failure of the last 8 years. Because those people, real families, our fellow Americans, suffering needlessly.
And that's who we're going after, the Trumpocrats back. We're actually, after the debate tonight, we're going up to starting in Pittsburgh, and we're distributing 10,000 signs and materials from Pittsburgh up the Mahoning Valley into Cleveland over about 5 days. And there are, like I said, hundreds of thousands of these people, Democrats and independents, who are supporting Trump, and we're going to empower them, give them a place to work out of, and make a difference in the election. This is what everybody says is the key to the election. But, you know, we need to raise the money, and we're going to be able to pull it off.
The Daily Beast had an article today that Hillary does have an electoral problem, and it never seems to come up in any of these discussions about how well she's doing in the polls, but apparently these polls don't include many Bernie Sanders supporters because, according to a recent survey, nearly half of the members of the Bernie Brigade say that they're not going to vote for Hillary.
Well, she
what do you think about that?
She's the Pied Piper of greed. That's what I call her. You know, this is somebody who left the office, left the presidency dead broke, the Clintons, and now they're worth over $250 million, and all of that by selling influence all over the world. It's completely unconscionable. I can't imagine anybody supporting her for president. This is all about power and greed and money.
You know, I couldn't agree more. It's really sad. Do you talk to a lot of your Democratic friends? Are they all saying the same thing to you about this?
I have, you know, I've been doing this since I was a little kid. I've been, you know, working in Democratic politics for my whole life. And, you know, the people that are supporting her, it's just like they're sort of resigned to supporting her, sort of lemming-like. But they're not excited about her. I mean, there just isn't the excitement that you had for general generic Democratic candidate.
All right, we appreciate your time. Thank you, Christian Rickers. 800-941-SHAWN is a toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, let's get to our busy phones. Terry is in Georgia. Terry, hi, how are you? And welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Hi, Sean.
What's going on?
Just wanted to have a chance to say to Bush, McCain, Romney, the others who are not supporting Trump, if they don't want to support Trump, they should at least support the Republicans who supported them when they had their chance.
Yeah, you would think so. Look, at this point, I'm kind of giving up on all of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, look, it's at this moment today, I mean, I'd probably say, based on the Real Clear Politics averages, Hillary's up by 2. It's too close for comfort in Florida. It's too close for comfort in North Carolina. Too close for comfort in Virginia and Pennsylvania and Colorado. I mean, frankly, I don't know which way it's going to tip. I don't know. I don't have a clue. I do think that there's not any one individual, if we mentioned the people that have been most outspoken against Trump, you know, for the thousandth time. I mean, NRO and the Wall Street Journal folks and Glenn Beck and all these other people. I mean, I understand that they've made their position clear. They're standing on it. But I make the argument that they'll own Hillary's Supreme Court picks. They'll own her refugees and what they do. And if they kill Americans, I'm partly blaming them for not seeing the major distinctions and difference at stake here. You know, I keep going down the list. This is a choice election. Hillary's going to raise taxes. She's going to raise every tax, and she's going to spend more. That's what her own tax plan says. You know, Trump wants to cut taxes, repatriate multinational corporation money. He wants energy independence. Hillary Clinton wants coal miners out of jobs and coal companies out of business. These are distinctions that are huge. You know, Trump will repeal Obamacare and replace it. Even Bill Clinton said this is a dumb idea and stupid yesterday. She'll keep it in some way, form, or fashion. The Supreme Court choices are probably issue number one, and the different judicial philosophy, it couldn't be any more stark, any more clear. You know, do you want a president that can say radical Islam or not? Do you want to vet refugees or not? Do you want a wall built to secure the borders or not? What do you view as the U.S. role in the world? Hillary threw us into Iraq and then politicized it, then pulled out and then said, whoops, 5,000 dead, but we got to learn from our mistake. You know, do you want education back to the states or not? These are profound differences. You know, what we have done the last 8 years has failed. It has failed dramatically. And whether or not we're going to continue down this path is, I guess anybody's business. I don't know what's going to happen.
Do they not realize, though, how much of a help they would be to us if they came out?
They don't care. They don't listen. I am telling. Let's project 35 days from now, Trump were to lose. There's nothing that these arrogant, pseudo-intellectual elitists would love to do more is point their finger at people like me and people like you and people that voted in record numbers in the primaries and say, see, you didn't listen to us. Trust me, I know it's true. I can already see the positioning going on. You know, while I'm focused on winning an election, you know, you've got people saying, all right, what are we going to do post-election? How do we all come back together? I'm not interested in coming back together with you. I've never been with you. So I, you know, I see what's going on. That they would love to stick their finger in the face of every Trump supporter, every Trump voter, and say, see, we're smarter than you. That's what they'd love to do. And if Hillary wins, they'll do that, and the country will lose. And I'll say that they own it, and I'll remind them every day. And every dumb thing she does, every corrupt thing she does, everything that is going to continue America's decline, they own, because they have made a choice here. And their choice is that they can't see the big picture that I just laid out on the economy, on energy, on the Supreme Court, on whether we say radical Islam, on vetting refugees, on building a wall, on rebuilding the military, the U.S. role in the world, on education. These are not insignificant differences. These are as deep and as profound and important as any election that I can think of in my lifetime. If anything, it's more so. You know, Obama saying yesterday, this election's even more important than his. Wow, what an admission. Can't believe he thinks anything's more important than him. But in many ways, it is. In many ways, it is. If we continue this precipitous decline and Americans out of work and we basically do the same thing over and over again, well, that defines stupid. That defines insanity. If you expect a different result of some kind. So it's predictable. Look, I was right about Obama. I'm right about Hillary. And I wish I was wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think I am. I've followed the Clintons my entire adult life and career. I know these people. Hillary, more than Bill, is radical left Alinsky. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get 4 more years of Obama. Doubled down on stupid. Let's get to our busy telephones here. A lot of you have been very, very patient, and we appreciate your patience. Let's say hi to Bob is in Elmont, New York, right next to my hometown where I grew up in Franklin Square. And Elmont, of course, is the home of Belmont Racetrack. How are you, Bob? Glad you called, sir.
Thanks, Sean, for taking my call. And I really like what you're doing, getting the word out there. My question is this. How come no one covered yesterday? It was an October surprise by WikiLeaks that Hillary said in a meeting, why can't we drone Assange? She wanted to bump him off with a drone. No one covered that yesterday.
Yeah, I think, you know, we are covering it. You know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, having interviewed now Julian Assange, we had him on 90 Minutes one day on radio. We had him on for 2 segments on TV one night. And as I said to him, when all of this first came out, when it broke 10 years ago, I had a very different impression. I thought that a lot of what he was going to be leaking could, in fact, put people's lives in jeopardy. And as time has gone on, and he's not gotten anything wrong over time, I think he's done a lot of good. And I said this, and people on the left were brutal to me, because what I think he's done, number one, he showed we have no cybersecurity as a country. He did us a favor by exposing it.
That's right.
This guy was 16 years old, and he broke into our Defense Department. And he broke into other government agencies. He was able at 16 to hack into these things. And if he has information about how corrupt Hillary is, we need to know it. And Hillary wanting a drone strike this guy. Yeah, I think it says a lot about her. But, you know, I think the Clintons, it's almost like you have different crime families. It almost is like that's how they act. They act like thugs.
It's like a banana republic. That's what it's like.
Listen, and there's a chance she wins. That's the scary part.
Scary.
That's the real scary part. Anyway, appreciate it, Bob. How's things in my old neighborhood over there, okay?
Yeah, very good. Yep, Franklin Square looks pretty good, and so does Elmont. You know, we're doing great out here, and we're all fans of you.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm probably the great embarrassment to some of the people in town. I hope my neighbors have all moved out so they don't get interviewed by the media at some point. Anyway, thank you so much, 800-941-SEAN. Back to our phones. Let's say hi to Rachel in Maryland. Rachel, hi. How are you?
I'm calling to talk to you today about something I think should be talked about. My brother has worked in the news business. He's been working for a major news network for 20-plus years. And it's a known fact behind closed doors, behind the scenes, that Hillary Clinton has major health problems. It's a fact that she's had seizures, she's fallen down, she's been foggy at times, they've had to hold segments. to kind of tend to her and get her
right.
So you're
saying that the media is covering this up for her?
Absolutely. The media knows about this, and it's their agenda. They'll do anything to get her elected, and they're working for her and against Trump.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. Remember, the media knew this would not be unprecedented historically. They knew that JFK had all these girlfriends and all these affairs going on. They knew that, you know, you can even take it back further, and FDR was as sick as he was, and they didn't tell the American people everything that he had, including polio. And I don't know why. The media is very different today. And look, we live in a world of the information age like never before. And in many ways, I think it's good. In other ways, I think it's bad. You know, the mainstream media still does have the influence, a lot more influence than we would like. And, you know, I'm just hoping that the American people are starting to pay attention to websites and bloggers and talk radio and Fox News and some other alternative media outlets so that they can get the information before they go in and vote. Because if you just watch the nightly newscast, you don't know half of what's going on. You don't know a quarter of what's going on. You don't even know 10%, really. You know, the good thing about having a three-hour radio show, we get to go over everything. Anyway, glad you called. Thank you so much. Surfer Crazy Die in Hawaii is on the line. How are you, Crazy Surfer Die? What's going on?
Hey. Aloha, Sean. How are you?
What's going on? I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. I'm doing wonderful. You know, I was thinking, you know, I follow stuff on Twitter, of course, and I'm seeing this increased support, you know, among Latinos, Blacks, women, even Democrats for Trump. And I think it's an opportunity for him to just kind of blow this wide open, the game that the left has been playing for so long, this tired game of character smearing and, you know, vilifying and just insults. And he could just focus on policy, because Hillary, all she has are these smears and insults. And he can really just blow that open, I think, this election.
Look, I think anything can happen. I think if Trump has in the next two debates a blowout debate, I mean, really on his game, sharp, lays out the different vision for the country, knowledgeable, presidential, hits her hard on in the right tone and cadence, I think he runs away with it. I really do.
Yeah,
I think it's that wide open. On the other hand, I mean, you know, my only frustration with Trump is every time he gets distracted. I don't care if it's Judge Curiel or, you know, Mr.
Exactly.
Khan, or in the case of Alicia Machado. I have no idea why he answers these people. They're not up to his level.
He has to resist taking the bait. I mean, he really does. He can just zone in. And the fact is, all she has is this slander and disparagement. So, I mean, people are getting tired of it, I think. And I think the general public, I mean, not only us political junkie types, are maybe opening their eyes to this. I mean, I'm hoping. I'm being optimistic about that.
Yeah, look, I think, like, as I said, I think anything can happen. I honestly think that this could go either way, and we're going to see. We're going to know in 35 days. You know, you think about it, there's 5 weeks to go. Think of how long this process has been. We went to CPAC in March of 2015 and began interviewing the potential primary candidates for the Republicans. I mean, if Trump lost, we're 2 years away from starting that all over again. Good grief. And then 2 years on the road again. But I'd prefer Donald Trump win. I'd prefer we vet refugees. I'd prefer originalists on the Supreme Court. I'd prefer lower taxes. I'd prefer multinational corporations repatriate their money. It's so easy and so simple in so many different ways. I just think that we would miss a huge opportunity as a country to get things back on the right track. Look, and there are a lot of angry people out there and people that have their own agendas out there, and everybody thinks they're smarter than everybody else, but it would be a big mistake. I'd like to build the wall. I'd like to control our borders. I'd like to be energy independent. I like education going back to states, local towns, communities, municipalities. All simple things, but deep and profound things. You know, you may keep it really simple. Let's say Trump only builds the wall, only supports originalists to the Supreme Court, only makes America energy independent, and does bring in the repatriated money and lowers the tax rate to stimulate economic activity. Let's say those are the only accomplishments he has in 4 years as president. You know how much better off as a country we are? It's deep. It's significant. It's profound. a country will be so much better off just on those issues right there. We'll be safer, we'll be more secure, and we will now have the economic opportunity where the trillions can be repatriated back at a low rate so that multinational corporations invest here. Give America one of the lowest corporate income tax rates of 15%. Corporations will flock to this country. That'll be a major job builder for the country. Energy independence, tell the Middle East to pound sand, great for national security. Building the wall, great for national security. Energy independence, great for creating millions of high-paying jobs and creating careers for people. You know, now people that are out of the labor force, 95 million Americans, you build a wall, they're not going to have to compete with the illegal immigrants for jobs, the few that are available, driving down wages. It's really that simple. I know that some people at the end of the day goes, oh, I don't like the way he says this. Oh, he said this 20 years ago. Pay attention to the media. You think it's the worst thing that ever happened in the history of mankind. And meanwhile, the Clintons have smeared and slandered more women than any group of people I've ever seen between them and their surrogates. All right, let's go to Lori in Louisiana next. Hey, Lori, how are you? We're glad you called.
Hey, Sean, how are you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Okay, I would like to ask you a question. This has been weighing on my mind for a long time, but Hillary Clinton took this case when she was very young of the woman that...
This woman's name is Kathy Shelton, who you're talking about, when she defended and then bragged how she used technicalities.
Yes, defending the man.
To get the rapist, the child rapist off, yeah. Uh-huh. Pretty sad, right?
Why is it that Trump or any of his surrogates, why don't they talk about this?
I don't know, but I think you raise a good point. Look, there are a number of issues you can bring up about Hillary's hypocrisy with women. You know, referring to Monica as a narcissistic looney tune and wanting to crucify Jennifer Flowers and the money she takes from the Saudis and, yeah, Kathy Shelton, who she defended and then bragged about that she knew the guy was guilty. Everybody's entitled to a defense. Our Constitution allows that. I get it and ensures that.
Well,
but here's the problem. You know, if I'm a lawyer, I'm not taking on a case of a guy that I think's guilty because she made the statement, oh, if forever, you know, took my belief in lie detector tests and threw it out the window, I knew he was guilty of sin. And I'm like, wow, I wouldn't want to defend a child rapist and allow him to go back out because any rape that he committed thereafter, I'd feel responsible for.
You raise
a good point.
There's a right and there's a wrong, you know, and she chose the wrong, but she doesn't care. Do you think she sits and cries at night because she did this?
No. Not at all. She bragged about it. She was bragging. We have the tape of her bragging about it.
I know. And I just get so frustrated when she says she's for women. You know, this is a little 12-year-old girl that cannot have children, you know, that now that she's in her 40s or I think 40s, right? 50s,
yeah.
Maybe. And
maybe we need to get her on the air too and let her tell her story and play the tape again. Maybe have we tried?
Yeah,
I know Lynn. Yeah. We'll try and get her back
on. That's not the only thing. I mean, what about, you know, well, I shouldn't get into this because I wasn't supposed to talk about it, but like she says, she's for women and all of this, but the full term abortion thing. Sean, that's not for women.
That's infanticide. If you're talking about partial birth abortion, late-term abortion, yeah, I mean, those are kids that are viable outside the womb. Yeah, I think it's barbaric. There's no excuse. There's no ambiguity here. Anyway, I appreciate it. You know, look, the Clintons are corrupt in so many ways. But, yeah, on the issue of women, I think she's probably the biggest phony hypocrite in the entire country, and you're not going to get the media to call her out on it. Sean in Oklahoma. Sean, hi, how are you, and welcome to the show.
Great. Sean, nice to talk to you. I just want to bring up T. Boone Pickens, Warren Buffett, and Hillary's old friend, late Sam Walton, all at one time or another lost billions.
Yeah, that's all. Look, I mean, she's getting all her money from speeches because it's basically a payoff for buying influence. I mean, just like more than half the people that she met as Secretary of State were people that were donors to the Clinton Foundation or pledging to the Clinton Foundation. You're not going to get an invitation to the White House if she's the president. Oh. And the people that will get it, the people that will get invited, I guarantee you, are people that donated.
Well, all businessmen are going to have a downturn in the economy where they're going to lose money.
Yeah. Well, I look, the results of this are predictable. And I go back to what I've been telling people. I told people in 2007 and 2008 what would happen if Obama got elected. I warned that it would get worse if you reelected him in 2012. It's all happened. It's not that hard to figure out if you follow the political patterns and you follow the ideology. She is as radical a leftist, if not more so, than Obama. And she's just hiding as best she can her radicalism, and with the support of a pretty abusively biased news media, is going to be successful at it. And that is the great, should be the great disappointment to all this election year. Anyway, I got to run. I appreciate your call. Born on America's darkest day, 9/11/01, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping American heroes ever since. And when a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young kids are left behind, well, Tunnel to Towers, they pay the mortgage on the family home off to lift that financial burden. Now, for catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds, well, mortgage-free smart homes that enables severely injured heroes to move around their homes more independently. And through the foundation's homeless vets program, Tunnel to Towers is providing housing and services to homeless vets. More than 3,300 were helped last year alone. And people who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities, they need your help more than ever. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices of this country's heroes. Donate $11 a month. Go to their website. It's the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org. Hollywood is under siege from an external force. Now, the same Hollywood that sold the American dream, they are now making nightmares a reality. Many major films make choices to appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Now you can join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in the Hollywood Takeover brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP exerts control over some of the major studios. Now don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider.